Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you for joining us for the second episode of 2018. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
And Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
So, on today's episode, we're going to talk about the big Bungie update, and we're going to ask some questions about it. We're going to ask how we feel about the changes, will this bring back the community, and what else needs to happen to really reinvigorate everybody's interest in Destiny 2. So, let's start off right off the bat, guys, talking about some of the big changes. I kind of broke them down into categories. So to start out, Eververse reduction. We're going to get more activity rewards, such as ghosts, barrels, and chips from doing activities and not necessarily tied to the Eververse. There's going to be a gameplay path to earn bright engrams and rewards, more direct purchase options at the Eververse, and Crimson Days on February 13th will implement many of these changes. And while you do that, you're going to get exclusive legendary emote skin Sparrow for Nightfall, Raid, and Milestone completions. So how do you feel about the Eververse changes to start off?
Yeah, I mean, we did a quick conversation about some of that stuff actually just yesterday when the news broke. That was mandatory. You know, the Dawning, which I don't know if you experienced much because you were away, but you play a little bit of the Dawning. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about it? Like, I ended up doing a walkthrough really quickly on some of the show and mm-hmm. You know, hashtag Eververse happened for that reason. It was a combination of loot boxes, but too much loot behind Eververse. So it's a good change.
Yeah, I mean, there's just it wasn't that fun to play the gifts in the Dawning is what I was thinking about. The event itself, like some of the snowballs and stuff like that. But
cute.
I didn't really get anything out of it that I was like, wow. It was okay.
I got a bunch of blue stuff. I got like a ship, but nothing really interesting.
Yeah.
And that was a disappointment. I signed on to Destiny 1 today just to kind of see what I loved about that game, kind of refresh my memory.
I do that.
Yeah. And do you remember that we would basically get a piece of loot just for signing on?
In which?
The first time you'd get in a...
Like during reset, you actually get a box that you can
open up. Oh, yes.
And get a reward for. Yeah. And then if you do the daily mission, you get a reward.
Yeah.
And there were all these avenues to collect the sort of stuff that the Dawning was offering. But in the Dawning, what do we have to do? We had to go collect shards.
Yeah.
We had to basically do the sword quest level of grinding.
Yeah.
To get a blue piece of armor?
Yeah, Sean and I were talking about that. It's the sword quest grind or the collection of the random RNG materials that didn't make it fun. You know, the other thing, too, is I think that people wanted to go into it and go, hey, you know, give me something that I feel like that's of value, like an emote or something that you're actually selling at Eververse that costs a lot of money. Let that be maybe, you know, one per week regardless of a grind, right? Mm-hmm. Interesting, though, that they, you know, obviously with Crimson Doubles coming out, they recognize they don't want to do that again. It would have been received that way. So this is good that announcement.
Yeah. And then, like, that's the fundamental problem still, though, is the Dawning stuff felt trapped behind the Eververse.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. That's why everybody is hashtag, you know, remove Eververse. Yeah. They're just like, just get rid of it. We see that that does not seem to be the plan. I don't think they're just going to suddenly drop that. But they do seem to want to fix it. And what they're saying is you're going to get legendary emotes, skins, sparrows, the stuff for completing, you know, these milestones that will be just for Crimson Days and not trapped behind the Eververse necessarily. And then they're talking about these more direct purchase options, which, you know, my commentary on that was I'm excited to do that as long as it is totally just like additive. It's another silly thing. It's another or another outfit. That's cool. But the core Crimson Days one, let's take that example. You can just get it. And that's awesome. They have Crimson Days and I got a Crimson Days outfit and it's awesome. And I just get stuff for playing the game. But hey, if I want to go spend $30 like I did in Fortnite because I bought a dumb disco ball pick and, you know, my afro and my disco outfit, like I spent money on that just because I was
streaming. You're the problem.
No, but it's purely cosmetic. And I don't feel like, well, yeah, you know, you're not playing the game to get that stuff. That's just the show.
Oh, I would argue definitely against that claim. You play the game to get the cosmetics. That was the big draw for Destiny.
In Destiny, no, I was talking about Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
I was saying, meaning you don't play, your reward is getting first place or whatever you get out of it.
Yeah, because right now, cosmetic was
also a free game.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's a whole huge conversation dialogue about, you know, you feel that it's a free game, so then you're willing to spend how much money?
Yeah.
Per.
Yeah,
week,
I'm not willing
year,
to spend $30 on that stupid
but
outfit.
But you did,
for the
though.
I was streaming. Now I do it just for the kids. But no, legitimately, part of it's for the funtertainment of it, for that.
Oh,
I know.
Wow. Man, open it up. All that? The, just keep going, Fran.
But no, but seriously, I would not on my own, you know, if I had no reason to call it, like, show that off. Anyway, going back to Destiny, I think the point is, hopefully I made the point, which is
I don't
care if they add something stupid like a crazy emote that is exclusive that you can just buy, as long as there's plenty in the game. And the problem is there's not plenty in the game.
It was so one-sided toward the end.
There's just not enough to do and get in the game that's cool. You know, that's a fundamental problem.
Well, that's the overarching problem. We're going to save that question for the end of the show because that's what I feel needs to be addressed.
I do need to interject last thing, just a combination of last week on the episode. People are like, oh, you know, what wasn't communicated well in the Dunning, I don't want to spend too much time on it, is that there's two different type of loot pools. And the loot pool that we pulled from the free one was always the stuff that was just kind of like, you know, cloaks and a few ghosts and ships and shaders.
The gifts.
It wasn't the armor thing. So I knew that. I didn't do a very good job of communicating that last on the show. But if you were not really paying attention or looking on Bungie,
I don't think the game did a good job communicating.
No, you would not actually realize that. So I think there's some challenge there. But it's interesting to hear you say Fortnite, I spent $30 and all that other stuff. Because to me, that is a huge question that is still – the whole remove Eververse thing is not just as simple as, hey, remove it. Because then you go, okay, well, what's the value of Destiny versus Fortnite? Like, how do you quantify, oh, because Fortnite's free, I gave them $30 this month, and then I'm giving another $40 next month.
Yeah.
You spend more in Fortnite in like a week than you do Destiny in a year.
Oh, no, that's definitely the trick.
So, to me, the whole loot box conversation, I'm glad that it's not a random loot box. Those are all steps in the right direction. I think this is why the conversation needs to happen, why it's going to be so important. But regardless, the loot pool behind Eververse was too big.
Definitely.
All that stuff needs to be able to be obtained in the game at some activity, period.
But
hopefully that
happens.
But just before we continue, guys, I do want to go over all the notes. So the big one was the reduction in the Eververse. The reduction of the Eververse was the big note that most people took away from the update. It was what they opened with. But there were some other interesting things that are going to be changing. Raids are going to be changing beginning January 30th. There's going to be raid-specific mods with raid perks. There's going to be a raid vendor, and he is – well, the raid vendor is still there, but he will now sell armor and weapons that you can acquire through legendary shards and the tokens. Raid item drops will happen during each major encounter, which is a big improvement. PvP is also going to be changing starting in spring 2018. Crucible ranks are now being added, including Valor, which – winning makes you raise your level. There's no loss penalty, but there's also glory, which is based on wins and losses. Private matches are coming back this spring. 6v6 playlists. A mayhem event will be limited in season 3. We'll talk more about that in just a second. There will be quitting penalties of some kind implemented. They're working on that. Additional playlists like Rumble will be implemented in fall 2018, and Trials of the Nine improvements will be made in fall 2018. Finally, some overall changes. Masterworks armor starting January 30th. Strike scoring for the Nightfall in February. Mods 2.0 in February. Fire team members will be added to the map, a small addition that I am grateful for. Vault space is being addressed in the spring with 50 slots, and a more complete solution will be implemented later. There will be an exotic accessory tab added. Item collections and records will be added in fall 2018. I think that's going to help a lot with the vault space issue. And then finally, PC tower chat / clan chat will begin in spring, and I believe the clan chat's being implemented later. Playlist repetition reduction in the spring, and heroic strike changes adding modifiers in the spring. That is just a quick overview of all the big changes coming. Mm. Let's talk about some of those. Let's start with the raid, you guys. So that's a big one. That needed to be like that. Yep. All the reaction videos from Destiny 1 are getting drops in the raid or from doing challenging encounters. Why they ever got rid of that, I will never, never understand. But I am very happy that they're bringing it.
Yeah, and this is coming in the January 30th update.
Yeah.
That for me, what was, you know, as you break this up, what's really important is, yes, there's a lot on that list, mm-hmm. but the only imminent thing is the raid reworking to Mass some of those drops armor. And then Masterworks armor, which, you know, maybe we'll talk about.
Yeah. And the raid mods.
Yes. That, yeah. Yep. And the mods, mm-hmm. specific stuff that's going to drop with this, as far as we understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. Later on, they're actually going to be implementing major mod changes because there's a lot of mods that do similar
things. Mods 2.0.
Things. Yeah, mods 2.0. That's going to be coming. But I was really happy to hear about the raid changes.
Yeah, me too.
Overall, you guys, how do you feel about all of the changes?
On the whole.
Yeah. For me, I'll just kind of give you an idea of how I'm feeling. I feel like they're getting to where they should have been at the beginning of Destiny 2 because a lot of these changes are just reverting to Destiny 1 style gameplay.
Yeah.
Armor perks and weapon perks. Great. That was in Destiny 1. Private matches was in Destiny 1. Some of the new stuff like Crucible Ranks, that's really exciting because that's actually a new mechanic that we didn't have in the original game. But 6v6 playlists, we had that. Rumble, we had that. Trials of the Nine improvements, we had that. Hopefully it's just, you know, stopping people from DDoSing you.
Yeah.
Those matchmaking drops.
Something, yeah.
And the reason I'm just sort of – I'm not – over the moon excited about this stuff is because I feel like it should have been implemented at launch. And I think that's how the community is feeling also.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the tone in the room that I was seeing out there, but it's only 24 hours later, literally from this update. True. But the tone in the room is we kept asking, please make it more like Destiny 1. And they're like, okay, we're going to do that. We're bringing back the raid stuff. You're going to get drops after the encounter and you're going to have perks now in the raid. And we don't know what they are yet that will help you in the raid. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's actually really exciting. Wow. I have a reason to grind for that gear, not just because I want to look ridiculous or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that stuff, but you're hearing people be like, nah, that's just Destiny 1 now, which is, I think it's a little like, we just were saying, please make it like that. And now they're like, we're going to do it. Now we're mad. But what I'm taking
away. I don't
think
they're mad.
But let me finish my point, which is simple. I think what's happening, you're losing people. And it's good that this stuff's coming January 30th, but I'm hearing there's people checking out. And without a significant update on top of it being, hey, we're bringing back some of what you loved, even though PvP needs totally a lot of changes. Yeah. I think the community agrees. But I think they're starting to lose people, and until those updates hit, I think it's going to be hard to just tell them, well, you're getting some of it back. And they're like, yeah, but I already was doing that before.
Yeah.
And they're mad. They're like, it should have been there at launch. And now you're telling me I had to wait 30 days or 60 days.
Or till fall.
Yeah.
Or till fall. And I think the tone in the room is like, I don't know. I'm checked out until you just fix it.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens when they start making these actual updates.
Maybe if we're really lucky, maybe they're just going to be like, Rasputin is going to be phenomenal. Like, it's going to be this really premier piece of DLC. But that's been in development since, what, launch of D2, maybe?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That was their development cycle for Curse of Osiris, they told us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They started basically at the launch.
I'm sure they've been planning content since then, you know. And
so I hope they delay it. They kind of alluded to the fact that, like, they're going to focus a little bit more on that because I think they got the reception.
People mentioned that. I don't think you're going to see a delay with Rasputin. You can't delay that in the sense that I paid for the expansion pass.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You can't, can't move it out, even though I think from the community side, I would be like happy, I would wait. But at the same time, I paid for something and like, not make me wait. Like, just make it good. And
well, it needs to be special.
Yeah. You'd wait until you had nothing to do, but then you're not playing. Yeah. And then, well, then that's not good.
I don't know if it'll be April or May that we hear about whatever is releasing in September. Mm-hmm. Presumably they'll stick to a schedule like that, but that's probably the big drop that people are, going to be waiting for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
How do you feel, CJ?
It's weird because I'm very much a look, listen, analyze. Like,
chill.
Yeah, there you go. Apologist. No, but I think that I do like to digest it a little bit more. So it's interesting that we're doing a Fireteam chat like 24 hours after this stuff has come out.
Well, we haven't even got to experience any of this.
No.
We'll be able to talk about that more as it happens.
For sure. And so for me, it's like I keep thinking the changes in the update, if you want to just like update-wise – really good. To me, that was, we are listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People want to see implementation, so I get that. I understand the, hey, this is just D1. That was coming out of the reveal event last year. Oh, it's Destiny 1.5. So even before you played Destiny 2, they were plagued with, oh, this is just an update. Like, it's not really a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, that makes this even harder in a way to not say that. What I hope is And this is just thinking back to Taken King, because I was trying to go, okay, Trials came along and a bunch of other different updates came along. We didn't really think or know what Taken King was. And my hope is that this kind of at least, you know, calm some of the outrage, because there is some, whether it's valid or not, that's, now I'm not saying that. I hope they are working on a bunch of stuff that we don't know about that is absolutely amazing, that is like Taken King, that is going to revolutionize the game, because from a risk creation standpoint, you want to assume that Bungie's going to do something amazing, something different, something that we haven't even thought about that's not on the front page of Reddit, and then yeah, they're going, just hang on, guys. Like, so here you go. Here's what you guys all wanted. Now we got a little bit of time to just work behind the scenes and do something really cool. I mean, they need to do that, and they're capable of doing it, but this is, you know, that's, I think, some of the nervousness about the way D1 was perceived. That was a risk. Now kind of we're going back a little bit, right?
Honestly, the thing that has me the most excited are the weapon rebalancing that they hinted towards, the mods 2.0, and the weapon and armor changes, basically.
Yeah, and how does all this stuff evolve, and what does it look like, right? Yeah.
The big loss in Destiny 2, and I was talking about it off-air before the show started, is that nothing is special. Everything kind of feels samey, you know, like I think like maybe the Midnight Scout is good or better Devils. And it's just kind of like everything is just sort of, yeah, well, I have a shotgun that's still pretty good, and I still have a scout that's still pretty good. Like nothing is like the premier, unique Gjallarhorn. You need Icebreaker for this encounter.
So that brings up another question. It's like and obviously, I think they want to have those moments and those weapons, but the whole, okay, you don't have Gjallarhorn, you can't do this. You know, you don't have Icebreaker, you can't beat this section. Like,
it's not that you can't beat it. It's that that was the optimal thing for team play. And the fact that it doesn't exist at all just says a lot about Bungie's design philosophy. If you look at how they would patch the game in Destiny 1, they literally didn't want anything to be powerful.
Yeah.
They're like, we want everything flatlined so that you have more options. But the thing is, that is boring.
Yeah.
That is a boring game to play. Everything's the same, nothing special.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a gold star. Sorry, but that's not interesting.
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't think it's that black and white, but I do agree there is a bit of the dishwater effect. We've talked about it a lot. But there are weapons out there that I do feel are somewhat special.
What is the weapon that I need to have?
Yeah, I think you definitely need to have Midnight Coup, which is awesome.
Yeah. Which you can buy.
Cannon.
Oh, so you can't just buy it.
Are you for sure, though, that that works that way?
What are you talking about?
I was going to ask it. Yeah, this is the sweeper bot thing that you were talking about. We don't know.
What?
So, hang on. There was a part where they mentioned about, did they say you complete the raid and then could buy anything? Or you could just maybe
weapons and armor
back if you got it? I mean, there's no...
Oh, you're talking about...
They said they're purchasable weapons and armor from raid. From the raid.
Right, after you complete it. But what we don't know yet is you do the raid once and then you can buy anything from the raid loot pool. I don't think it's going
to
work.
Yeah, it doesn't say you can buy everything. You're responding to the – I have the quote in front of me. Mm-hmm. Where are they?
I was thinking about that when they said that.
The raid vendor will also directly sell Leviathan and Eater of Worlds armor and weapons for purchase with raid tokens and legendary shards. You're responding to that.
So talking about the scout, to answer your question specifically, there is a point in the game where you can just choose that weapon, you get it.
Yeah, and you're right. But then you're talking about how you get these things. I was really just saying, I think there are some special weapons out there. Like, we all still like Uriel's, you know, the newer...
That is random. That is a
the
random.
Number, So my point is there are some good weapons, but I agree that as you like, I always like try to think of exotics and I'm like, I forget sometimes like what are the good ones.
Yeah.
It takes me a while to be like, yeah, I guess I like Sunshot and I do like Telesto in certain purposes.
Legendaries are the new example.
But yeah, like there's no even truth, frankly, you know, there's no just like wicked, you know, high
Merciless.
Power ammo.
Merciless is,
is solid. That's true.
A lot of the rage.
So
Destiny 1 was there were so many special things that people kind of lended their playstyle towards what they liked. A lot of people went with tracking rockets. Some people went with machine guns that had a large clip and a lot of distance. But there were things to counter. You didn't have to have the one loadout.
Yeah.
Even when Gjallarhorn was king, you still had the rocket launcher from the second raid from Dark Below to Crota's, have as a secondary option.
Yeah, Hunger of Crota.
But I think that more comes from – and I don't really play Prestige enough to comment on this. Maybe you guys could. But I feel like just the normal raid and the general encounters, they're just like easier. And so it just is easier to use whatever you want. You don't feel like you have to use rockets and cluster bombs, which actually though for the raid lair, for example, you don't have to, but it's pretty beneficial to use rockets with cluster bombs on, what's his name?
Argos.
The raid lair. It's Argos, So, meaning there is a little bit of purpose in there, but we don't see it enough. I think you're right, Destin. It's just like you don't feel like you have to use Midnight Coup because the DPS is insane if you do. Yeah. We don't see that as much.
And I'm fine. Like, okay, PvP, I kind of understand why they're trying to do that. But in PvE, come on, give me a Black Hammer. Give me a Black Spindle. Give me something that's interesting that definitely has DPS advantages. Like, the only thing I ever found was War Rig with dual ARs or War Rig with the ice beam gun because you just had that additional. Cold Heart.
I think, I mean, so I want to ask you guys a question about that, but I think that's where if they add
Pulse Grenade, which they nerfed.
Yeah, if they add some kind of armor perk, if they add some kind of like, they're saying there's going to be raid-specific perks on it. So maybe those things affect the weapons. And so if they do, then all of a sudden you could have these, because again, they are trying to balance it for PvP and PvE simultaneously. So hopefully these, you know, perks or mods or whatever it's going to be helps with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and then add some kind of different, you know, fun element when you're doing the raid, which you might not have in PvP. Real quick before I move on, the things that we don't get a chance to do very often, I gotta do this just one time. The psychology of this is, I think, super fascinating. And again, we don't have enough time on the show. We always say that. It's unfortunate. But do you guys remember how weapons dropped in Destiny 1 Year 1 versus Year 2? Where did you get Fatebringer?
Just in the encounter during the drop.
But like in the raid. But like which part? Do you guys remember?
Yeah, the Templar.
Yeah, the Templar.
Why do you remember that?
Well, because I kept asking people for that save spot exactly. So I could get in there without playing the whole raid. Is that what you were getting at?
It is. So now, where do you guys remember Defiance of Yasmin, the Sniper, and the Taken King?
The Witch?
Defiance of Yasmin?
I thought that came from Oryx.
So no, that was a Taken King sniper.
I didn't particularly like that sniper.
No. Okay.
Yeah. 100%.
No, I mean what I was saying is in the encounter.
Yeah. War.
Are you saying that? I thought it came from Oryx.
War Priest.
It came from the War Priest.
That's right. Okay.
Why Machine Gun
came from War Priest as well.
Why do you not remember those as much?
Oh, I remember that one because it's the only place it dropped.
Ah, but did it drop or did you go and pick up an Engram?
You picked up an Engram.
You did. So what's weird is that even like changes, and this is I'm bringing.
But
this
I thought
up
it decrypted
reason.
Right there.
It does if you pick it up.
If you pick it up, it decrypts right there.
But just thinking about that subtle change. In Destiny 1, Atheon, Crotozen, Templar.
It dropped right into your inventory.
It dropped right into your inventory.
And everybody could see it.
Everybody could see it.
The immediacy of the drop.
So that is one thing I think that was really well done. Now, the problem with that initially
they were fixed
that,
the Engram problem.
Right. Is that if your postmaster was full, you wouldn't
didn't get
see
a notification,
so
which sucked.
That sucked. It's a huge quality of life thing. Now you see it drop. It then, hey, off to the postmaster. Yep. That's cool. But they even changed that in the Taken King, and then it became, okay, where do you get these drops and everything? And it turned into almost a little bit of what we have now in Destiny 2. Hey, let's run to the treasure chest. Let's turn in our tokens. So they did kind of some of that for Taken King, but you didn't realize it, I think.
Well, there wasn't tokens.
No, it wasn't tokens, but it was an Engram, or you open up a chest like after Red Blue Room.
But everybody was still there. You would still run to the end of the counter.
What
did you get? What did you get? Did you get the thing you needed?
Yeah.
Oh, congrats, dude.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
But it's different, the evolution, like when you actually look at what did you like better. I think Destiny 1, Year 1, the way it dropped on the screen after you beat the boss.
And notified everybody.
And it notified everybody.
But not at the expense of the problem. And so, like, yes, I prefer it to immediately show you what you got.
Yeah.
But not at the expense of, I don't know if I got a Fatebringer because, oops, my primary was full.
But
with a dumb blue Engram.
They fixed that.
Well, they did by the second thing that you mentioned is that you
in Destiny 2, that is technically fixed because you still get the drops. Then it says sent to your postmaster.
That tells you that it's going to your postmaster.
Yeah. No, and I hope they go back in that direction.
Yes.
Like they said, right? It's going to drop at encounters. They didn't quite say how.
Right. Is it an Engram you pick up? Do you go to a chest? Exactly. So these are the kind of things that I think are super fascinating because I can only imagine what it's like talking about all these decisions when you've gone back and forth on a couple different things. And I don't think most people really would have noticed or paid attention to that stuff in Destiny 1.
Good point. The second question I had on this list of questions was about the overall community and whether or not we think this is going to bring them back. So I'm going to use this as an opportunity to talk about the PvP changes, the Crucible ranked. I think that's going to be really interesting for some players.
Yep.
But I do not think it's enough yet to
get just the status right now.
Until the weapons are changed, in the weapons and mods, once that happens, I think the game will be in a totally different state where it's much more enticing to play Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Because right now the big PvP people are just kind of like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, rank, that's unfortunate. Rank doesn't change the game.
It doesn't change, the meta and it's how you feel about people.
The gameplay is what has been challenging for a lot of people right now.
Yep.
Bringing back 6v6, I mean, we'll see when that happens. What is that? Spring, I believe.
Yeah.
Was, 6v6 is spring. But even Rumble's
nice. I like Rumble.
Yeah. I love Rumble. It was one of my favorite modes. I like to play solo.
I played it today. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Destiny 2?
Destiny 1.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Exactly. It was Rumble Supremacy though. Yeah.
But it doesn't change the way the weapons and the time to kill and all that work. And I personally feel like it is a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the fun part of the game, and that's why I think, some people in PvP have dropped off. I want to kind of, stress that I think, unfortunately, looking at the update, a bunch of PvP guys are like, oh. why? I wanted to see that sandbox update right away. Yeah. So it's nice that there is ranked. I think that gives incentive for people to play PvP. That's good. Do you want to play PvP? Is it fun to play PvP? Mm. Do you like the current meta? Those are challenges.
Yeah, I did
not particularly.
I did live tweet reactions as I was reading through it yesterday. Mm. And I don't know. I felt like I'm still missing it, but I put that challenge out there for Lars and John and Barrett. But I tweeted and I was like, can we talk about if the audience actually as at large likes the PvP better and are playing it more because I don't think that's the case, and nobody I play with wants to play anymore. So the impression I get is we don't like the current PvP meta. So I thought there would be an urgency to fix it. But that's just me.
Yeah.
But when I read through the update, it almost seems like, but wait, don't we have a major problem? Mm-hmm. And you're telling me I gotta wait till spring sometime.
Really fall, Fran, for the weapon adjustment.
But,
right.
But
if there's no other effect any of the changes.
I would love if they talk about it though. Does the data show that more people than ever are playing Crucible?
Yeah.
They're playing for longer than before. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are, and I'm just like, oh, well, I guess it's just the hardcore. Maybe it's the hardcore.
Oh, I guess just everybody on Twitter who says they're not going to play anymore because it's not fun.
And all the high tier players have moved on for the most part.
Yeah, a good majority.
Not all.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
A big majority. But my impression is that even the ones that are still playing it's okay.
You know what? I don't like that argument though. Even if they say, oh yeah, more people are playing than ever. Well, guess what? Halo still has a competitive community and a casual community, and that game manages
and it serves both. Yeah, that's a great point. I would love to. I wanted to finish that with, they are making it, kind of slips through in their update. It's such a minor, slipped in that it's coming in February. Yeah. Quick play improvements. We are adjusting game mode rules to increase the pace of gameplay and power ammo acquisition.
What does that
mean? In quick play. Yeah. So we don't really know what that means yet. I hope we find that out in swift order.
Yeah.
But that'd be huge. The way they make it sound, it's like, well, we're going to change the countdown timers and heavy ammo drop timers and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's minor tweaks.
Yeah.
Well, and they did.
I was hoping for more right away.
Yeah, and they did some of those adjustments very early on with changing the score of each match and readjusting you know the length of the games and stuff like that. So within survival
super timers.
Yeah. And so to me, I think that's the thing. And unfortunately, people are comparing it right now to Fortnite, PUBG, all these other places where they're playing going, hey, we kind of make a recommendation here, and then all of a sudden, boom, that's fixed in a few days or something like that.
Yeah.
That's gotta be super challenging for Bungie. And I don't understand how you actually address that, but you're right. I don't play Trials as much. I would like to play Trials. It's tough to get a team together.
You know why I don't play? Because of the disconnects, plain and simple.
Well, and so not being able to finish a trials round after an hour because you don't have some kind of boon system or any kind of protection against that.
That's one thing, but
I mean, that's one thing. But again, is the game fun and do you like playing? I don't understand how they're going to fix that waiting till.
Yeah, there's not even talk of trials that much in here.
They did mention it for the fall area. There's going to be trials of the night.
Fall.
Trials improvement.
Say the words.
Yeah, fall. It's so far away.
Yeah, it is.
A year after launch, you're going to get to a state where
February
is good.
March, April, May, June, July.
It's so far off.
September. That's a long way.
Let me continue my on the other hand. I think the only thing that's difficult for for every other game, because right now, I mean, does PUBG have PvE? No, they don't. Does Fortnite have, you know, I mean, they do a little bit. It's a different kind of like, you know, PvE style thing.
PUBG doesn't need PvE.
You're absolutely right.
And it wasn't designed with that in mind.
No. Yeah. And so I think that is the part where you're right. I would love to have a conversation with those guys. Like, you think of how, you know, variation the meta comes and goes, especially when Curse of Osiris and these other new DLCs come in. Like, I can understand them wanting to go, okay, you know what? We want to change things and adapt them. But all of a sudden, guys, you don't know this yet, but boom, we're going to introduce like 100 new weapons into this next DLC.
Yeah.
Like how does that, like, how do you do that? And then all of a sudden say, okay, well, we're going to tweak it still every month.
We introduce 100 new weapons. If any of them are interesting, maybe I'll go for them.
I mean, people have asked this before. It's like, you know, why not have separate balance for PvE and PvP? And like, I'm not saying I know the answer.
Well, they themselves said that is okay with them. They're just not doing it across the board, right? Remember when we first interviewed them in May, they said split tuning, right? Words out of their mouth.
Oh, that was more, I think, for PC potentially versus console.
People have said that before, but the impression I got was it was about – it could be PvP versus PvE in that. But
yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, again, I'm glad I'm not them, because again, with all these very positive changes, this is very much, hey, this is everything we wanted, but you should have changed the meta first.
Yeah. And I think there's a grain of salt here too. They tried to list a lot. And like when we talk about fall 2018, it actually says or sooner. And they say things like that, like, we're trying to get this done now, but maybe sooner. Like, they are trying to figure out a lot and they're being transparent. So I am very happy, that I get to look forward. That's Destin Sheet. Their update says it has this big list for fall 18, and that's something we normally would not see until like months from now. So I'm very pleased we are getting to peek into what they're thinking about. But what I'm responding to is January 30th update, and I really want to play. I logged in to play this week, and Mayhem was gone, and I said, nope, I'm playing Fortnite. But that was me personally. And part of it was I tried to put together a raid team, and I just couldn't.
You can't find one.
I'm there, Fran. I'm there. You're like,
we tried.
You want to raid?
We found three people, and we couldn't get to full six, even with being, you know, here at IGN and having some like people to reach out to. It's crazy.
So one of the things I was happy to see was vault space being addressed in spring. It is day 1,221 since the vault space has been
14 minutes, 36 seconds.
Yeah. So they're adding 50 more slots, but what made me very happy is a more complete change later, meaning they're actually going to look at this thing that has 1,221 days been a problem. They're going to be adding an exotic accessory tab and item collections and records. Item collection.
We don't know what items yet. Someone actually tripped me out on Twitter.
Is this a collection game, Destin?
Were they?
Yes! It totally is!
But when they say item collections and records, I was assuming like some weapon kiosks and stuff. Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm thinking.
Like Destiny 1.
Someone on Twitter was sort of like, oh, I thought it meant more like some record book stuff. And like, I was like, oh, wait, no, I'm assuming it's kiosks.
So I think that's their more complete change, which is going to be coming later. Because honestly, I don't want all the weapons that I have, but if I delete them, I can't get them anymore.
Ghosts in particular. Like, please, just like once I get it, I want to delete it and not have to worry about it.
They're doing that for exotics.
50 slots doesn't fix the vault. It's a band-aid.
It's the same band-aid that you've been putting on for 1,200.
They said that themselves, though.
They know
they said it's not.
And I'm glad.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm glad they addressed
that. So I've been really analyzing the infrastructure of what I think is there in Destiny 2 right now and going, you know, okay, how could they tweak it? It's weird when you think that you go up to a vendor, you preview an engram, you see all the stuff there.
Yeah.
Why couldn't that just be the kiosk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay, so
gray it out when
I don't have it or haven't gotten it. Mm-hmm. But that literally could be preview and then bloop. Like it seems like a lot of the infrastructure is there to do that. Not a game dev. And don't know how it works.
They're also working on exotic duplicates. They said you're going to see fewer instances of duplicates.
Well, I don't want to see – I actually don't want to see weapons until I've gotten them. So there's things like that.
So the engram, it's like the way it works right now in Destiny 1. If you haven't gotten the exotic, it just shows an engram. You don't know what it is. But then once you've opened that one, you can go and buy it, or you can go and like pay shards or whatever it is at any time and get it again. Like, I feel like that really could be a nice way, because then you don't have all these like kiosks like messing up the tower. Yeah. Like, your vendors just sell you or, like, have you pick those weapons up again that you can already see in the engram.
I hopped into Destiny 1 today to just kind of refresh my memory about it, and the inventory is a disaster. It's a total mess in that game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they didn't really do too much to address that problem in Destiny 2. Hopefully some of the changes that they're making are going to kind of look at a better way to organize that stuff.
I do, but like, now that it seems like it organizes by duplicates or like by the, like the weapons. So now if you see that you go in, you can see if you have two of the same weapons side by side. At least there's
oh, they have that filter on there?
Yeah, like you can go by by rarity.
Rarity barely works. Yeah,
but yeah, there's a couple different options.
So. We're almost at the end of our time here today. Was there anything else that needs to happen? That's the final question I want to ask you guys. Mm. So what else needs to happen? I think, based on what you guys have said, that the thing that needs to happen is they need to rebalance how the gameplay is playing right now. And they seem to be hinting that they're working towards that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't give me much until later.
Yeah.
So what about you guys? What else do they need to add?
Well, for me, there's so much on the list that everybody wants, but they've really got to figure out what – by majority will bring the community back. And if Eververse is the problem, then focus on that. But meaning by majority, this game is nothing without the community. Mm-hmm. So awesome list of stuff, and I'm excited for a lot of it. Yeah. But meaning everybody has their own thing, but I think there is at large, there's probably things that the community, like PvP, frankly, again, my perception is it's just the gameplay. And until you fix it, you're not going to just suddenly bring that community back by introducing a different Crimson Days thing. It won't bring the community back. So definitely you have to bring the community back and identify the majority stuff. What I see in there is, I think there's definitely that specialty of like this thing you're chasing is still not quite there. I'm excited about the raid gear to see if that introduces some stuff. And then, it's balance changes otherwise for me. So it's weird because it's almost like simplified in that aspect. It's not like just one thing. And of course, new content. When you look at expansions, I mean, like we've said, if Rasputin has just amazing missions and cutscenes and an awesome raid that you want to play every week with awesome rewards that you're chasing, then that could be cool too.
Yeah,
definitely.
To me, like that's what I was saying before. Like this is the roadmap. Like you've wanted the roadmap. Here's the roadmap. So thank you. And I mean, that's the thing. This is positive. So I don't want to go, hey, that's great. You didn't give me the one sandbox change that I wanted. The rest is garbage. But that is kind of somewhat of a reaction for pretty dedicated PvP players. They really want to come back. This doesn't give them that right away. How do they do that? And again, I don't know the answer. I still play a lot of PvP. I'm excited about ranked. I will say that I looked at that screen cap. I don't know what that means. And if I can make the plea, please don't let the stat on there be an emblem. Like, do you know what I mean? Right now, it's like you see a bunch of emblems. If you want to know, like, your banner one, you have to equip the banner emblem.
I don't think that'll be the case.
Oh, you're wondering, do you have to equip a rank emblem?
Yeah.
They all look the same. So I want that stat. If I'm playing in that game mode, or as you see, I don't know how it's going to work, but if I'm playing a rank or competitive version of something, that, like, I want to be able to see that info publicly, like the Grimoire score was, but I also want everybody else to see it. So don't make me equip an emblem that makes it the exact same.
Yeah, like,
so now we all rocking that one emblem, right? The way your Crucible score was before.
No,
so.
It's a good point. Like, it's funny because they're numbers driven in these ranks right now. And you could imagine, like, quick access. You're looking at the names of people playing. You almost kind of want to see stars of how high they are. But maybe there's a way to get it in the game more than, like, an emblem. Yeah. I agree.
What was their light level again? 330?
Yeah, it's just 330 still.
Yeah, grubs.
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah.
Not equipping their monitors. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, there's so many, you know, kind of interesting things that, again, we're just scratching the surface, which is kind of always – the problem we talk about in the show. We definitely want to reach out and, you know, talk to people in the comment section, which, again, I love it when people do comment. I'm intrigued to think, you know, or to see, what do you think people's, you know, pros and cons are going to be? Mm-hmm. Do you have a feeling this is, again, enough or going to be received as positively, or how do you think the community will feel about it?
I think, as I said at the beginning of the show, I think that people feel like this is how it should have launched. Like they're working towards the state it should have launched in. And maybe they're eating a little bit of humble pie right now. Like, okay, yeah, we messed up. We should have had a lot of this stuff we're bringing it back. Mm-hmm. And by the fall, we'll be getting those exciting changes, like Fran said. They need like a killer story DLC. They need a new raid.
Yeah.
You know, a new raid.
They need like innovation thing. Like I want the feeling that we had of Trials in Destiny 1.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever that is. And I don't know the name of it. Yeah. I don't know what it is. That new thing needs to exist where we go, oh, this was not like the top Reddit thread. It was not something that somebody else has said. It was Bungie being Bungie and creating something out of the blue that we don't know about.
Right.
That needs to happen.
Yeah, and right now they're just introducing old things as though they're new things. And we're just like, yeah, we've had this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and that's the thing. That's why the magic isn't there.
Yeah.
And it's because we had this already. Where's the new thing that is like when you introduce Trials, that was fantastic. Or when what was it called where you would go kill a bunch of boss?
Prison Elders.
Prison
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. You know, I was like, that is kind of, I think, the feeling we're searching for is, oh, and there's this new mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Or Court of Oryx. Like even Court of Oryx. Like, I really like that. I will say that there was mention of, I think, maybe collectibles and a couple other things.
Yeah, like ghosts. But that was separately on Twitter from Chris himself.
So I think without knowing what that's going to be and if it's going to be ghosts or it's going to be like, you know, what was the Taken King? The Calcified Fragments.
Yeah. Yep.
If there's something like that, it felt like even right now with the lore things that you scan, like if there's a way to have a score associated with those or those lead to a quest or something like that, I think PvE is actually going to receive a lot of positive changes very quickly. And so that's good. I hope the PvP side of things, there's a way
also
to balance that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. I want to address the audience for a second. Guys, I liked CJ's show last week. It actually reminded me of when we used to do shows with three people. So as you can see today, we have three, and I feel it gives everybody a little bit more time to talk. One additional change that we're going to try and make is to bring on a guest more often. So if you have anybody that you would like to see in particular, let us know in the comments below on this week's episode. Mm. And let us know what you thought about going back to the three people.
Thanks, Destin. I appreciate that. I mean, I will take that as a compliment.
Yeah, you did a good job. The show was good last week.
Yeah, it was a good show.
It was fun. I mean, I wanted to have everybody get, you know, a first episode back. It was the dawning things and, you know, just, you know, it was the first Friday back, so wanted to hold down the fort. No, it wasn't. But how was China?
Oh, it was good. Yeah, I'm very jet-lagged.
He's jet-lagged.
I'm less jet-lagged today. Which is great.
Just back. So thanks, man.
Let us also know what you thought about the change. And with that said, that is all that we have time for this week. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.